Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. Here in France, which will be hosting the UN's conference at the end of the year aimed at containing climate change, also known as COP21, environmental issues are rising to the fore, just like the temperature. At the end of the week, it was World Environment Day, which also brought the subject into international public focus. This week, I went to an international event. Here in France, it's called Velocity, where I met people from all over the world and some from different countries in Asia who are involved in and passionate about something which can help maintain people's health and also cut emissions of carbon dioxide produced by vehicles. Bicycles. In Asia, bicycles are still widely used outside of big cities, but city kids, like adults, are less keen these days and prefer scooters. For the increasing number of people who can afford them, 4x4s or air-conditioned cars are the conveyance of choice. The densely populated cities of Delhi and Mumbai in India have tried to relieve traffic jams between the centre and the suburbs by building under or overground tube infrastructure with varying degrees of success, likewise in places like Beijing or Shanghai. From the overheating city of Hyderabad in the centre of the south of India comes D.V. Manohar. He's the chair of the Hyderabad Bicycling Club. He said health reasons spurred him back on a bike and has tried to encourage fellow citizens to do the same with the help of the local authorities.
It is the fifth largest city with a population of 8.75 million. There is a lot of traffic congestion and there is tremendous vehicular pollution in the city of Hyderabad in the past few years. We thought that the best way to address this problem is make more people take to cycling. Through our Hyderabad Bicycling Club, we started a massive publicity campaign and started promoting cycling aggressively.
Of course, it wasn't all plain cycling. Manohar says they had to do a lot of legwork.
There were several roadblocks. The first one is a mental block. In India, cycle is a poor man's vehicle. So cyclists are looked down by the people. Secondly, a physical block. There is no enabling infrastructure. We didn't have any bike stations and no bike tracks. We decided to address both. Through our publicity campaign, we educated and enlightened the people about cycling. And we made several stalwarts endorse cycling. We organized several events. We made our governor, our chief minister, our mayor join us at one big event. So when all such stalwarts rode in public, it made big news. So with all this, we could clear the mental blocks and people no longer see cycling as a poor man's activity.
But now, he says, they're starting to make a real difference.
When we started promoting cycling, two questions popped up. The first is, I have a car, I have a flashy motorcycle, but I don't have a bicycle. Where do I get one? The second one was, how do you expect me to cycle in this traffic? I don't want to get killed. So we addressed both the issues. Our Hyderabad Bicycling Club set up bike stations and we positioned geared bikes, state-of-the-art, nice bicycles there for people to come and take. And we also are working with the state government, our state government, to build dedicated exclusive cycling tracks. So with the enabling infrastructure materializing, people now are more receptive, more willing to take to cycling.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. Bicycles are seen as just one cut above walking in some parts of the world today, whereas they used to be the transport for everyone about only one generation ago. So getting people to cycle again means working hard to change the image of the bike. Taiwan, which used to be known as one of Asia's economic tigers or dragons, is the world leader in cycle manufacture and has been for at least two decades. It's a place that knows a thing or two about changing image. But in the capital Taipei, which is equipped with several metro lines opened in 1996, cars and motorbikes still abound. Taipei, moreover, will host the Velocity Convention next year. It's the first time a city in Asia was chosen for the event, which was launched in 1980. Chow Li Fong is Taipei's deputy mayor. She says her city today is quite green, especially compared to how it was 20 years ago when the metro, for example, or city rent bikes simply didn't exist.
It has been totally different now. The cycling infrastructures and cultures did not exist 20 years ago. Today, Taipei has become one of the most talked about case studies. We have got 382 kilometers of urban bike lanes and 112 kilometers of riverside paths. There have been nearly 9,000 e-bikes for rental in the greater Taipei area. The numbers are still increasing and more people are cycling more often. I think this growth itself is very remarkable. Green transport is everywhere into every neighborhood. That is why it has become a part of people's life.
Over to Singapore, a small island city with 5.4 million people living on 718 square kilometres. Maria Bowie is an urban planner and landscape architect there with the Parks and Recreation Institute of Singapore. As part of her work previously with the Singapore Housing Authority, she designed two towns. She particularly planned a green town where cycling played a significant part. Now, she says, Singapore has what are known as cycle towns.
Tampines is the newer town where I set up the new structure model, where I have this green network where you can cycle, walk, jog, and that itself is connecting from neighborhood town to town centers, to parks and to housing, and preferably no traffic cross it except for the roads whereby you have traffic lights to cross it. So I'm a planner, but when I planned Tampines, it wasn't a cycling town. But now we are building a lot of towns to be cycling town, and Tampines became one of the first one because the member of parliaments there are active in cycling. So that was about 5 years ago. Now we have four other new towns that are cycling towns, but these are planned by the government, inviting people to come to design the planning of the cycling track. I myself is researching into one called Woodland. And when I go home, I'll be doing another one for voluntary basis to help in a coastal area called Marine Parade.
Do you feel that somehow the interest in cycling now is taking a step back? You're going back?
Actually, I grew up in a small town called Batubat, Johor in Malaysia. And we cycle because there's no other means of transport. There were no taxi. We have trishaws, but my secondary school is uphill. And my first bike was really my father taking me to kindergarten. And I'm very glad I grew to love bicycles. And in fundraising, when I'm a professional, I fundraise for Cambodia and Myanmar based on bicycle because I think that is very important need for the new nation. Transportation is very important to them. And they can do errands running. But in Cambodia, we give it to the river kids, which is very young children, and that is through a charity in Singapore. And it was very joyful to see young children trying to ride on a big bicycle. And I think we really need to help them in different ways.
Cycling is nothing new, we all agree, but what's changing is the image of the bicycle, particularly in urban areas. It's not just for kids, it has nothing to do with status. Whatever the motive, it's making a comeback in parts of Asia, where it had actually begun to disappear. That's all we have time for, but thank you for listening to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. From me, Roslyn Hyams. Until next time, goodbye.